Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to Trashy Divorces, everybody's favorite good podcast about bad relationships. My name is Stacy. Thank you for joining us today. Alicia, you are bringing us a different kind of Trashy Divorces story today, huh?
That I am, Stacy and friends. Today, I'm bringing you the trashy breakup currently happening of the most successful musical duo of all time. Hall and Oates.
Oh, yeah.
We don't just stick to marital misadventure around here. We are pretty committed to the trashy brand all-inclusive. Today, we're going to be talking about this musical partnership these two, Daryl Hall and John Oates, have spent 50 years, 5-0, together. But now, in the continuing year of breakups, these two, they're going to court. There are restraining orders. It is messy. It is trashy. And we can totally go for that.
Does sound like us.
Before we begin today's episode, though, Stacey, I do have a magic mirror here with a ton of shout-outs to give to our most recent Patreon supporters. Whose name do you see shining in that magic mirror?
Thank you so much, Carisha, Jane S., Nellie G., Whit C., Amy S., Aaron M., Anna S., Alyssa D., and Kai.
Thank you all so much, new supporters and sustaining supporters. If you want to add more to your Trashy Divorces journey, patreon.com/trashydivorces is the place to go to find out about early ad-free episodes, dumpster dives, spiderwebs, more bonuses, Zoom salons, all the good stuff, and more. We can't tell you how much we appreciate all of our Patreon supporters and you for coming back to listen today. Your kiss is on our list.
Alicia, I think it's time to get to this story.
Let's go, go, go.
So, Alicia, you've turned your private eyes to this story, and you're going to make our dreams come true today?
That's exactly right.
Perfect.
This story begins with two kids from Philadelphia, just wanting to make all their dreams come true, and do they? Hall and Oates, 21 albums. They have sold over 80 million records. 8-0. The most successful musical duo ever. More than Simon and Garfunkel.
Yeah.
More than the Carpenters. More than the Everly Brothers. These guys, Hall and Oates, were huge. Couldn't avoid them if you tried many years.
Just hit makers for, I mean, my childhood was filled with Hall & Oates songs.
Hit makers, huge. And now, Hall & Oates are breaking up. I got really excited about perhaps doing this story when Hall & Oates made a surprise appearance on my Hulu the other night. I needed just a brain break, and I was watching this movie called You Again, with Jamie Lee Curtis, Tell Your Dog I Said Hi, and Kristen Bell. I just needed something easy to watch. And hey, who shows up but Hall & Oates?
In the soundtrack or in person?
Both.
Oh.
Both.
Perfect.
And they're battling it out in court. They have been in this past last year and this year, lawsuits, restraining orders, and I was like, whoa, we definitely got to cover this one on our good podcast about bad relationships. This is definitely a trashy breakup. So we're going to go back into better times. We're going to talk about their meet cute. And it's a little bit unlikely how these two actually get together. Let's go ahead and give them a little background before we get them to their meet cute, which is something a little different. Mm-hmm. You might not have heard it before. Okay, Daryl Hall is a music major at Temple. He was born October 11th, 1946. And Daryl is really, really, really into music. For younger listeners who might be like, who's Hall & Oates? Or how do you tell them apart? Daryl Hall is tall.
He is tall, yes.
John Oates is not tall. So Daryl Hall, tall. It's a nice little, he's the tall guy, Daryl Hall. He loves music. Music is his life from an early age. And he is so into music that by the time he makes it as a freshman to Temple University, he is working with the legends of what is known as the Philly sound, even from a young age. He's recording his own music. He's writing his own music. But he's also working as a studio session player for these two guys named Kenny Gamble and Leon Huff. They are the Philly sound. Gamble and Huff are a remarkably big deal in the music world. Patti LaBelle, the OJs, Lou Rawls, Wilson Pickett, the Jacksons, Teddy Pendergrass. These guys bring a distinctive sound, Gamble and Huff. Big deal. Daryl Hall is a teenager, is hanging out with these guys and all the people they're working with to create this new sound of music as a teenager. He's going to make a band, Daryl will. It's called the Temptones.
Oh, God.
Uh-huh. And Gamble and Huff produce a record for the Temptones. They're getting gigs. The Temptones, Daryl Hall's band, actually beat both the Delphonics and the Ambassadors in a contest at the Uptown Theater. There's a lot of action for Daryl Hall's teenage band. Also, this allows Daryl Hall to meet everyone in the scene.
Sure.
As a teenager, he knows Smokey Robinson, the members of the Temptations.
Wow.
Here's Daryl Hall, like, tall white kid with soul who can hang with the scene. His future looks bright. John Oates, not tall.
Not tall.
He goes to Temple for one reason and one reason only. It's in the city. He grew up outside of the city, and he doesn't want to be in a tiny town anymore. John actually gets offered a wrestling scholarship to a smaller, not city college. John's super into sports, but John's like, can I just want to go to the city, man? Mm-hmm. So it's Temple. John was born April 7th, 1948. He's a few years younger than Daryl Hall. John records his first song in 1966. These guys are both really musically talented, doing it in their own way. Everybody wants a band. It's the mid-60s.
Sure.
So let's move along to 1967, to the Meet Cute. Daryl Hall is a senior. John is like a sophomore. The two of them have differing accounts of how this story goes, but it essentially breaks down like this. Because they both have bands, Daryl Hall has a band, the Temptones, and John Oates has a band, not sure what that band's name is, but both of their bands are set to play against each other in this big battle of the bands competition. Sure. But alas, that night, they do not face off and shred. Something entirely different happens. There is a shootout that occurs with two rival fraternities or gangs at the Battle of the Bands competition,
wow,
which leaves Hall and Oates both scrambling to the service elevator to escape the ballroom where gunfire is breaking out. Hall, Oates run to the lift. They meet, escaping with life and limb and a new friendship. In another version, this is according to Daryl Hall. They meet when, quote, we got in the middle of a fight at a dance. I have no idea what the fight was about. I guess the Greek letters on one gang's jacket didn't appeal to the other gang. We both beat it out the back and met on the elevator while leaving the place rather quickly. No matter. There's a fight. The two escape.
Mm-hmm.
They hang out. And sure, it turns out they like the same music. They are both super into all the classic soul singers of their childhoods. They both love the Temptations. They meet, and it's all about the music. Listen to that harmony. Look at this. Look at this. And as they say, a great partnership was thus born.
Sure. And it was probably really cool because Hall knew a lot of the people that John Oates would have been listening to.
Sure.
So, like, yeah, that's...
These two.
What do you mean you're recording with these people?
Like, with Gamble and Huff. Yeah. Tell me about this, right? So these two... Fallen friend love.
Yeah, fast friends, yeah.
They get along. They're actually going to roommate up. This is how they get the name of their band, because on their mailbox, it says Hall and Oates. On every one of their albums, they're not known as Hall and Oates. They're known as Daryl Hall and John Oates. Mm. But everybody kind of calls them Hall and Oates.
Sure.
Harkens back to that same mailbox. They like the way it sounds. The duo's born. Now, each one of them has their own album. They're both doing their own music, but they're living together and like sort of collaborating, but it's not a full-fledged thing yet. So it comes time for Daryl Hall to graduate. About 6 weeks before he's supposed to graduate, he gets hauled in for a meeting with his advisor because Daryl Hall is so busy. Gamble and Huff, studio sessions, all the things. And his advisor is like, Daryl, you can graduate with a music education degree and teach music, or you can be a live musician, but you cannot do both. Like, this is unsustainable for you. So Daryl Hall is like, I'm going to be a live musician, quit school, quits college 6 weeks before he graduates. John Oates will graduate with a degree in journalism a few years later. He transfers schools, but these two live together for a while. They're playing together. They're writing mostly separately, though. But they will play together in coffee houses, not large places, 75-seat venues, but they're making some moves. And the two of them like the thing they got going. They're blending pop and rock and soul and R&B and disco, too, into something kind of unique. So they think maybe this Hall & Oates thing could be a thing. So what do these kids from Philly do? They're going to pack up their bags and move to...
New York or Los Angeles?
New York City.
Okay.
First guess, best guess, to make a deal. They're going to make it big in the music industry. We're going to find out if they do when we come back from a quick break to hear from our sponsors.
Didn't realize you were sliding a transition in there. We'll be right back. Sibling fights are unavoidable, but what if every fight you had was under a microscope on a global scale? That's the reality for brothers Prince William and Prince Harry. They were each other's closest friends and allies since the death of their mother, but that all began to crack as they married and took wildly different approaches to their royal duties.
Wondery's podcast, Dis and Tell, is hosted by comedians Sydney Battle and Matt Bellassai. Each episode unpacks one of pop culture's most iconic celebrity feuds, and they recently took a deeper look into the real reason William versus Harry started.
It's actually much bigger than these two brothers, stretching back into the history of the British monarchy. Did their feud start with the royal family's mistreatment of Meghan Markle, or was it something that started much earlier?
Follow Dis and Tell on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ladies and gentlemen.
What are you doing?
What do you mean?
Just keep it simple.
I'm making the promo.
Just keep it simple. Just say, hey, we're the Brav Bros, two guys that talk about Bravo.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we're the Brav Bros.
No.
Oh.
Dude, stop with the voice. Keep it simple.
I've seen promos on TV, dude. This is how you get the fans engaged. This is how you get listeners. We're trying to get listeners here. If we just say, oh, we're two dudes that talk about Bravo, people are going to get tired of it already. We need some oomph.
All right, then fine. Let's try to do it with your voice.
Brav Bros.
Good job.
All right. There's two kids from Philly with a dream. Heading to New York City, looking for a deal. Who do they run into in New York City? But a very young, newly hired, glorified gopher at this music publishing company. His name is Tommy Mottola.
Okay, Mariah Carey's ex-husband.
That's exactly right.
Pre all that.
And Tommy Mottola, he's like, oh, I get the coffee around here, right? Mm-hmm. Like, he is so young. But Tommy Mottola really likes what he sees in Hall & Oates. And Tommy says, like, Hall & Oates was the best thing he ever heard. Hello, new manager. It doesn't go too badly. Hall & Oates gets signed to Atlantic. Their first record with Atlantic is kind of a grab bag. Your first album is stuff you've written for 100 years.
Yeah.
There are no real successful singles off of it. The next album is a little bit more successful, but again, no big singles. Hall & Oates are going to kind of slow burn until their career really catches on fire. From 1974 to 1991, Hall and Oates release 33 singles. 29 of those 33 singles will make the top 40. 6 of those 33 will make it to number 1. Let's take a journey back through our childhoods. Rich Girl, Kisses on My List, Private Eyes, mm-hmm. I Can't Go for That. Who could forget Man Eater?
Sure.
Out of Touch. Who couldn't karaoke any of these on demand? Okay, maybe it wasn't a number one, but there are big hits that are coming up in the top 10. Sarah Smile, She's Gone, You Make My Dreams Come True, Family Man, Say It Ain't So, Method of Modern Love. By the mid-70s, though, I don't know if you remember the mid-70s, you were still a wee babe, but androgyny was the thing. It's an amazing thing happening sort of in visual arts. David Bowie has done his Ziggy Stardust cover. And the guy that was responsible for creating David Bowie's look for the Ziggy Stardust cover, his name is Pierre LaRoche. Pierre LaRoche is hired to do Hall and Oates for their breakout cover. It's very androgynous. Pierre LaRoche is also the makeup and costume designer for another picture film that comes out that same year. Hall & Oates, their androgyny self-titled album, comes out in August 1975. A little film called The Rocky Horror Picture Show comes out September 1975. So Hall & Oates are very much like in the trend. But people, when they see this album, are like, whoa, slow up, stop the traffic, y'all. Are these guys lovers? Like, what's even happening with these guys? They're not, but they have been. I got some funny stories coming up on Spiderwebs over on Patreon this week.
Wait, they have been lovers with each other?
They fooled around a little. That's Spiderwebs. That's not part of...
I did not know that.
It was an early 70s thing. So this is what's coming on Spiderwebs. If y'all want to know, like, here's your hot secret drop of what's coming on Patreon. The same guy who outs Elton John the year before lands an interview with Hall & Oates at this time during the Androgyny album. And I think he's trying to do the same thing to them. But they both reassure this guy, like, nah, man, we're really into girls. But hence it was the 70s.
Sure.
More on that on Patreon.
Okay.
There's always more to the story. The 70s were a weird and wacky time. We'll just put it that way.
Couple of adventurous young men with a lot in common. Who can say?
Girl in the middle. Not gay, right? But this guy's, again, trying to out them. And they're both like, there's nothing to out here. It's really kind of an interesting expose. We'll talk about that on Patreon. Okay, so... here in the main story, Hall & Oates, finally, after coming to New York, getting signed by Atlantic, making a few albums, this is the album that really lands them. Now they're really slow burning their way to the top. She's Gone comes out. That's released. It hits number 6. Their first number 1 follows 6 months later with Rich Girl. When that hits number 1, Daryl Hall buys himself a brand new 1976 Cadillac Seville. His manager, Tommy Mottolo, buys an identical one as Daryl Hall just for funsies. So, hello, rolling into the 1980s.
Top of the world.
I want my MTV.
Mm.
Yeah, MTV changes everything. MTV launches in 81, and Hall & Oates is like, psh, let's make some music videos. Let's be guest VJs. Let's make promos. Hall and Oates are all in. And to be fair, a lot of their dopey videos are a little cringy to watch. But so are a lot of videos from that time. But Hall and Oates really do have some classic cringe with a lot of themes and tropes. Close-ups of jazz hands floating through the air. We got fluffy mullet hairdos. Suit jackets worn without a shirt underneath. You got your sunglasses in a dark room, faces entirely too close to the camera.
Sure.
electric keyboard always playing a prominent role.
I think what was happening was that, again, because a lot of these musicians were quite young, a lot of them probably had friends who were film students. And so this was just a really experimental time.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
There's a Rick Springfield video from this era that is like some kind of sci-fi madness. I mean, it was the Wild West.
Oh, yeah. Questionable set choices.
Oh, sure.
We won't even mention the outfits. Like, 80s videos are a creation all their own. Mm-hmm. It's almost like real men of genius, that dumb set, real videos of genius, because everyone is just so delightfully cringe in its mm-hmm. own special way.
Sure.
The 1980s videos for MTV are definitely a window into the time period. Now, I guess we should set this in here, is that Hall & Oates, as successful as they are during all of this, are maybe not making the smartest choices with their money. Okay? Daryl Hall said back in May of 2023 about the music business. I think we've seen this bear out to be true. The music business is closer to organized crime. It is based on exploitation and thievery, even at its best. The artist is always the one to get the scraps.
Yep.
You make the money from playing live. That is my income. I've been live for years. Daryl puts the blame both on he and John for not paying more attention in those days. But now, he says, in May of 2023, we know what we're doing. That's going to come back to haunt them. So, Hall & Oates both do, through the 1990s, tour a lot. They're living the life. They're making their dreams come true. No privacy, but fans and shows. By the late 1990s, they fade out a bit, but they're still on tour. Again, they're the most successful musical duo of all time. They go kind of quiet. They both tour solo because each have their own musical things they're doing. But it's in 2008... 35 years since they first performed as an opening act. They do a show at my favorite California place to see a show, the Troubadour. That puts them again back on the map. People are like, oh yeah, we forgot about how great Hall & Oates were. 2014, the duo is inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. It is in this time period that Hall & Oates' music starts getting picked up to be used in film. Again, we forgot how great Hall & Oates mm-hmm. were. They have a cameo in the movie Pixels in 2015. In 2016, they get their Hollywood star on the Walk of Fame.
Amazing that it took that long.
Well, you apply for it and pay for it. It's, you know.
Gotcha. Okay.
Like, it's something you can, if you're famous enough, they're going to be like, yeah, cool, you want one? Great, let's see where we can fit you. It's a little bit different of a system. In 2018, Hall & Oates are ranked in Billboard's Hot 100 Artists ranked. They're ranked number 18 of all artists of all time and number 6 in the Hot 100 of duos and groups. That's pretty impressive. Recently, they've come back with a strength. They're in a bunch of movies, all kinds of good songs. They have 8 certified platinum albums. And maybe because they've made this resurrection and that back catalog might mm-hmm. be looking a little bit more attractive, a little bit more lucrative, this is going to lead us to the stickiness that is coming in the Hall & Oates breakup. We are going to take one more break here, and when we come back, we're going to find out how that meet cute and 50 years of a partnership breaks down.
It all goes bad. We'll be back.
There are over 90,000 people missing at any time, and over 500,000 are reported missing every year. And that's just in the United States. I'm Mike Morford.
And I'm Jess Betancourt. And in our podcast, Missing Persons, we discuss cases of people who have gone missing under mysterious circumstances. And we're joined in each episode by guests who are either related to the missing person, investigating their disappearance, or advocating for answers in the case.
Missing Persons is available everywhere you listen to podcasts, and there are dozens of episodes to binge on right now. Subscribe today so you don't miss an episode. We've all seen the headlines in the news of how someone lost their life in an act of cold-blooded murder. And while it's sad and grabs your attention, most people go on with their day without giving it another thought. But have you ever stopped to think about the life of the person at the center of the news story? They were more than just a headline or a statistic. They were someone's loved one or friend. I'm Mike Morford, and my podcast, The Murder of My Family, dives into some of those stories to help listeners get to know the person who was lost and how their death affected those closest to them. Listen to The Murder of My Family everywhere you listen to podcasts. There are well over 100 episodes to binge on now.
Lauren, we are sisters.
That's true.
And we host a celebrity-obsessed podcast called Pop Apologists.
We also love Taylor Swift. Chandler, how are you managing to cope while we await Taylor's new album?
Look, I want to be put into a medically induced coma and wake up on April 19th, but I'm not sure my insurance is going to cover it.
Join us on our pop culture podcast, Pop Apologists, where we will be dishing on all things celebrity news and deep diving every word and note of Taylor's new album.
Pop Apologists.
Pop Apologists.
All right, let's break it down. Hall is suing Oates. You heard it here. 50 years apparently means nothing, or it means a lot. Let's get into it. So the best, I pulled a few articles about how it all goes down, because they're currently in court. They've been in court for a long time. I am taking this from Yahoo.com Entertainment, just to answer some basic questions. We first want to know, what have Hall and Oates been up to separately and together in recent years, right?
Mm-hmm.
The last decade and a half has been one big Hall and Oates revival. The prominent placement of You Make My Dreams in the 2009 Joseph Gordon-Levitt and Zooey Deschanel rom-com, 500 Days of Summer, as well as commercials from brands ranging from KFC to TJ Maxx, Daryl Hall, his Webby Award-winning variety show, Live from Daryl's House, that runs from 2007 to 2014, recently rebooted. There have been pop culture homages like the Bird and the Bees album, Interpreting the Masters, Volume 1. There was a tribute to Daryl Hall and John Oates, and Gym Class Heroes cheekily titled Daryl Hall for President 07 Tour. Hall and Oates finally inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. They collaborated on high-profile concert tours with fellow 80s bands Tears for Fears and Squeeze. As Daryl Hall told Yahoo Entertainment in 2018, after, quote, the media were a bunch of fucking assholes, unquote, to Hall and Oates for many years, there seems to be a, quote-unquote, sea change. And boy, it has. Doing great. All kinds of resurrected. Everybody wants to get a piece of Hall and Oates. November 17th of 2023, Daryl Hall filed a suit against John Oates in the Nashville Chancery Court.
Okay.
That's not all. Not just the suit. There is also a TRO, a temporary restraining order. Court documents are sealed at this point. I've been on this story for a long time. Mm-hmm. Like, when is this going to break? So court documents are sealed, but all the trashy details are going to come forth slowly to light. 6 days later, November 23rd, Thanksgiving surprise. TMZ reports that Hall & Oates have been in arbitration. So what's the big fuss? John Oates, who plays several shows a month solo, and also has a number of co-writing credits on their songs, is essentially having a little beef with his partner, Daryl Hall, about which songs John is or is not allowed to play at his solo shows.
Explain.
He can sing She's Gone and Sarah Smile and You Make My Dreams and I Can't Go For That and Man Eater, but he cannot sing other crowd-pleasing classics like Rich Girl, Kisses on My List, Private Eyes, One-on-One, Method of Modern Love, Say It Isn't So. So John's mad. Like, Daryl, I should be able to sing our whole catalog. Yeah. And Daryl is like, oh, no, 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 no. That is not the way it works. So November 28th, 5 days later, the AP, Associated Press, reports that that is not what's happening at all. It's a ruse. Okay, here's the undercover story. The real battle is about John Oates wanting to sell his share of their Whole Oats Enterprises to Primary Wave IP Investment Management, LLC.
Mm-hmm. Some private equity firm.
That's exactly right.
So he just wants to cash out, which, I mean, he's an old guy, you know.
Now, Primary Wave IP already owns a significant interest in the Hall & Oates catalog. Hall & Oates made a deal with them back in 2006, but Daryl Hall is not even happy about the deal they did then. Hall has argued that John Oates selling the rest of this catalog would cause him imminent irreparable harm. So let's break this down just a little bit with some questions. Again, from Yahoo, I thought this guy was really good. Michael Ackerman, he's an entertainment attorney. He's not a party in this case. He just knows a lot about entertainment law. So we have some questions here, right? Can Hall really stop Oates from performing the band's material? Is Oates legally only allowed to sing the songs on which he has writing credit? Michael Ackerman says, I don't see how Daryl Hall can dictate the playlist of a John Oates solo show. The only license or permission legally required for live performance of songs is a public performance license, typically issued on a blanket basis by ASCAP, BMI, or SESAC, S-E-S-A-C. Unless they've changed affiliation, Daryl Hall and John Oates were with BMI since the 70s. Because the only license required for a live show is a public performance license, which would be issued by BMI, which is typically obtained by the venue, not the performer, from BMI. And presumably, every event that John Oates has played or will play has obtained a license from BMI. There would seem to be no way to say that the performance, for example, of Kisses on My List, a song John Oates did not write, Daryl Hall and Jana Allen did, is improper because the public performance of it falls within public performance license issued to BMI by that venue. This is all like legally, this is why they're in Chancery Court, right? It's tricky. Ackerman goes on to say that there may be something in the agreement between Daryl Hall and John Oates, be it a partnership agreement for the LLP or a corporate operating agreement, that prevents one or the other from performing certain songs that were primarily composed by the other partner who is not in attendance. I doubt that's the case, in part because it would be so much more advantageous to Daryl Hall, but it's possible. Next up, can Hall really stop Oates from selling his share of the band's catalog? Michael Ackerman continues, whether or not John Oates had a right to sell his share of the company would be dictated by the LLP agreement. It is common in such agreement, especially where it's a two-partner or even a three-partner entity, to include a right of first refusal if one partner wants to sell his or her share in that partnership. In that way, the other partner or partners may buy out the selling partner themselves. There could also be a matching right in such an agreement, which would provide for the other partners to be allowed to match any purchase price obtained by the selling partner. Again, Ackerman's like, this is all speculation. We don't know. Right. Everything's sealed. What is likely, he says, is that there is either no language in the agreement limiting both partners' rights to sell their shares, or more likely, there is some language in the agreement which limits the rights of each partner to sell in certain circumstances. This is what I thought was interesting, because you and I, especially around trashy divorces, hear temporary restraining order, and it's normally done, right, in situations of domestic violence. Like, there's a physical threat. But it turns out you can file a temporary restraining order as well in other kinds of cases where physical threat
I think I just thought they were called injunctions in that situation, but maybe Tennessee Chancery Court, the Court of Equity.
Okay,
as it
so
were.
Let's unpack this a little bit. While most people assume restraining orders are a last resort due to a threat of violence, there are other reasons for such a move. Ackerman again explains a temporary restraining order, or TRO, is typically an emergency remedy to stop something that is happening imminently from happening.
Like selling your catalog to private equity firm.
It can be related to threat of violence, either from a stalker or in a domestic situation, or it can be the sale of a publishing catalog or a company. To obtain a temporary restraining order, the movant must prove four things. The likelihood of success on the merits, that irreparable harm will result from the contemplated action, that less harm will result if the injunction is issued, than will result if the defendant is allowed to do what is contemplated, and a determination that the public interest is best served by the issuance of the order.
Makes sense. So the court did order the TRO?
Yeah, court ordered the TRO. There was a hearing set for Thursday, November 30th that considered extending Hall's restraining order. Since that time last year, zero. All of this sort of happened in the fall of last year. October 2nd, even before all that stuff, I said, John Oates without informing Hall. The thing is, John Oates went kind of behind Daryl Hall's back and was like, hey, Primary Wave, I want to sell this. And Hall's attorneys and Hall, once he got wind of it, was like, oh, no. So all that stuff happened in October. We've had November court dates. Everything's still under seal. The case was set for arbitration. A Nashville judge halted anything happening with any kind of sale until February 17th or until a resolution was reached. Everything's still under seal. No news. Zero news is going on. So I am desperate to find out how this is going to break down. It's all about that back catalog.
I wonder, though, since nothing happened on the 17th, apparently, if that means that negotiations are going fairly well. And so the judge didn't see any reason to intercede.
I hope so. I don't know. But Hall and Oates, breaking up.
I wonder if just the private equity firm was willing to outbid Tall Daryl Hall. And Oates was like, yes, I would prefer that payout to what you can give me. And now the court's got to work out, like, well, what does the contract say? Yeah.
This is why getting real good lawyers when you're setting stuff up is a super terrific idea. Yeah. So everything's still under seal. I mean, you know, all of that is speculation. But again, back catalog, John Oates apparently wants to sell it. Again, to a firm that already has a significant stake in it. So it seems like this is going to continue on with no clear resolution yet. But those boys are breaking up.
Had they remained friends over the, yeah, like, were they close in any?
All the time. Daryl Hall is like, I've been friends with John since we were teenagers. Like, they don't write music together. It reminds me a lot of Amy Ray and Emily Saliers from the Indigo Girls. Mm-hmm. They both write independently, but get together to, like, do their thing when they get together to do their thing. They both live on opposite sides of the United States, so they'll talk because they've been friends since high school.
Daryl Hall and John Oates.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, I don't know.
This seems bad for the friendship, and that is a shame.
It seems bad for their musical duo-ship.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they will cease being friends, but I don't know. It gets tricky when you get to the Chancery Court. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it occurs to me, though, that the Nashville Chancery Court, I was going to make a joke about the Delaware Chancery Court, which has kind of ended up being prominent in the nation's life, what with Twitter and all kinds of things happening up there. But for a music dispute, the Nashville Chancery Court makes perfect sense. It's Nashville. It's where Songwriters Row is. It's right. This is probably a court of equity with a lot of involvement in intellectual property disputes.
Well, and it's unfortunately not like this hasn't been going on. So even back long before 2023, back in late 2022, Daryl Hall indicated he was considering Oates' suggestion to dissolve their touring entity and distinct partnership due to their musical compositions and publishing. So Daryl Hall puts forward a proposal to dissolve Whole Oats Enterprises, their LLC. And that backfires. So it seems like they have been quietly working through this in court now going on almost two years.
Well, God love them. Wish them the best.
I don't know. They're man-eating each other. Yeah. We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
Trash cans, I don't even know until it gets resolved, but I bet they're worth a whole lot of millions with that back catalog.
Catchy trash cans.
Catchy trash cans.
I mean, those boys can write a song. I will say that.
Both of them can write a song. Y'all, that's a trashy breakup of Hall & Oates. As soon as I get further details on it, we'll throw that into Dumpster Dive.
Love it.
But I just, like, 50 years, you break up your musical partnership.
I know, but yeah, cashing out, you know, maybe that's the right
move. Nothing lasts forever.
I guess.
Maybe.
Anyway, well, thanks for that. I know you've been watching that for a while.
Hey, you probably like that story, No Murders.
No murders.
When I say temporary restraining order, it normally goes a different way.
It does. It does.
Thanks, everybody, for tuning in to that one. This week over on Patreon, we have already dropped a dumpster dive, but I've got two different spider webs coming up. I've got some spider webs back from the last episode on James Brown and Hall & Oates. Those are coming for you on Patreon this week. Don't forget also, if you want a little bit more of our trashy brand, two other places to find us.
You can check us out on Thursdays at Trashy Royals, wherever you listen to podcasts. Currently going through the wow marriage of Louis and Edwina Mountbatten.
I think we're on part four this week. We got a lot of Edwina's continuing affairs.
Yep.
But also, in this episode, Edwina and Louis decide it's going to be an open marriage. At least for Dickie.
Well, I was going to say, since Edwina had already decided that for herself.
Trashy Royals comes out for you on Thursday. Also, every single Monday. And actually, I've been double dropping to get through it. Done and done. If you are following Feud, Capote versus the Swans.
You are deep diving it.
Holy cats, we are going through every episode and all the background information behind that episode. If you're into the Swans, Done and Done is going to be the place you're going to want to go to get all that hot, gossipy trash. Holy cats, I think that's it.
I think that's it.
Thanks, everybody, for tuning in and being awesome, spending your time with us, your kind reviews and emails and support on Patreon and telling your friends. And generally just being the best audience that's ever existed. Your kiss is on our list. We love y'all. Until we meet again.
Keep your hands clean, friends.
Keep those hearts trashy. Big love, everybody.
Bye.
Bye. And thanks to you for listening. Trashy Divorces is a Hemlock Creatives production, created and produced right here in Atlanta, Georgia, by us, Stacy and Alicia. With a little research and writing help from the brilliant Melissa O.
Our art is by Sydney V. Smith. That's Sydney V. Smith at carbonmade.com. And our music is used with permission of Ratsy. Check her out at Ratsy's store on Instagram. And definitely drop into Ratsy's store anytime you're in Oberlin, Ohio.
You can contact us at trashydivorces@gmail.com or find us on the World Wide Web at trashydivorces.com.
If you need more trash candy in your life, our Patreon community includes some of the very best humans around and thousands of hours of bonus content at every level of support. Join the fun at patreon.com/trashydivorces.
Interested in some Trashy Divorces swag? Check out our merch shop and Trash Panda Enthusiasm Society at bit.ly/trashygear.
Want to advertise with us? Reach out to sales@advertisecast.com for more information.
And last but not least, come play with us on social media. I keep most of our Trashy Divorces Instagram hopping. Stacy and I share it up over on Facebook, including our Trashy Divorces podcast discussion group. Come join us over there, and thanks again, everybody, for listening.
Keep it trashy, y'all.